Don't wait to be approached. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring One-Year Bible in podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the LifeSpring family, and happy Mother's Day especially to the lovely Lady Leanne. Today is Epistle Sunday. We'll read 1 Timothy 1 through 3. Also, being Sunday, we'll have a time of prayer today. Before we get started, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for our time together here around your word, and I pray, Lord, that you would teach us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready to get going? Let's begin. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I, Paul, am writing this letter. I am an apostle of Christ Jesus, just as God our Savior commanded. Christ Jesus also commanded it. We have put our hope in him. Timothy, I'm sending you this letter. You are my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Stay there in Ephesus. This is what I told you to do when I went into Macedonia. I want you to command certain people not to teach things that aren't true. Command them not to spend their time on stories that aren't completely true. They must not waste time on family histories that never end. Things like that cause people to argue instead of doing God's work. His work is done by faith. Love is the purpose of my command. Love comes from a pure heart. It comes from a good sense of what is right and wrong. It comes from faith that is honest and true. Some have wandered away from those teachings. They would rather talk about things that have no meaning. They want to be teachers of the law, and they are very sure about that law, but they don't know what they're talking about. We know that the law is good if it is used properly. We also know that the law isn't made for godly people. It is made for those who break the law. It is for those who refuse to obey. It is for ungodly and sinful people. It is for those who aren't holy and who don't believe. It is for those who kill their fathers or mothers. It is for murderers. It is for those who commit adultery. It is for those who have a twisted view of sex. It is for people who buy and sell slaves. It is for liars. It is for those who give witness to things that aren't true. And it is for anything else that is the opposite of true teaching. True teaching agrees with the glorious good news of the blessed God. He trusted me with that good news. I am thankful to Christ Jesus our Lord. He has given me strength. I thank him that he considered me faithful, and I thank him for appointing me to serve him. I used to speak evil things against Jesus. I tried to hurt his followers. I really pushed them around. But God showed me mercy anyway. I did those things without knowing any better. I wasn't a believer. Our Lord poured out more and more of his grace on me. Along with it came faith and love from Christ Jesus. Here is a saying that you can trust. It should be accepted completely. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst sinner of all. But for that very reason, God showed me mercy. And I am the worst of sinners. He showed me mercy so that Christ Jesus could show that he is very patient. I was an example for those who would come to believe in him. Then they would receive eternal life. The eternal King will never die. He can't be seen. He is the only God. Give him honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. My son Timothy, I give you these teachings. They're in keeping with the prophecies that were once made about you. By following them, you can fight the good fight. Then you will hold on to faith. You will hold on to a good sense of what is right and wrong. Some have not accepted these teachings. By doing that, they have destroyed their faith. They are like a ship that is sunk. Hymenaeus and Alexander are among them. I have handed them over to Satan. That will teach them not to speak evil things against God. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First, I want all of you to pray for everyone. Ask God to bless them. Give thanks for them. Pray for kings. Pray for all who are in authority. Pray that we will live peaceful and quiet lives. And pray that we will be godly and holy. That is good. It pleases God our Savior. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants them to come to know the truth. There is only one God, and there is only one go-between for God and human beings. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He gave himself to pay for the sins of everyone. That was a witness given by God at just the right time. I was appointed to be a messenger and an apostle to preach the good news. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. God appointed me to be a teacher of the true faith to those who aren't Jews. I want men everywhere to pray. I want them to lift up holy hands. I don't want them to be angry when they pray. I don't want them to argue. I also want women to dress simply. They should wear clothes that are right and proper. They shouldn't braid their hair. They shouldn't wear gold or pearls. They shouldn't spend too much on clothes. Instead, they should put on good works as if they were clothes. That is proper for women who claim to worship God. When a woman is learning, she should be quiet. She should follow the leaders in every way. I do not let women teach. I do not let them have authority over men. They must be quiet. Adam was made first, then Eve was made. Adam was not the one who was tricked. The woman was tricked and became a sinner. Will women be saved by having children? Only if they keep on believing, loving, and leading a holy life in a proper way. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a statement that can be trusted. If anyone sets his heart on being a bishop, he desires something excellent. A bishop must have a good reputation. He must have only one wife, be sober, use good judgment, be respectable, be hospitable, and be able to teach. He must not drink excessively or be a violent person, but he must be gentle. He must not be quarrelsome or love money. He must manage his own family well. His children should respectfully obey him. If a man doesn't know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a new Christian, or he might become arrogant like the devil and be condemned. People who are not Christians must speak well of him, or he might become the victim of disgraceful insults that the devil sets as traps for him. Deacons must also be of good character. They must not be two-faced or addicted to alcohol. They must not use shameful ways to make money. They must have clear consciences about possessing the mystery of the Christian faith. First, a person must be evaluated. Then, if he has a good reputation, he may become a deacon. Their wives must also be of good character. They must not be gossips, but they must control their tempers and be trustworthy in every way. A deacon must have only one wife. Deacons must manage their children and their families well. Those deacons who serve well gain an excellent reputation and will have confidence as a result of their faith in Christ Jesus. I hope to visit you soon. However, I'm writing this to you in case I'm delayed. I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The mystery that gives us our reverence for God is acknowledged to be great. He appeared in his human nature, was approved by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was announced throughout the nations, was believed in the world, and was taken to heaven in glory. I've got a few comments today on the first chapter. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy from a Roman prison shortly before he was executed by the Emperor Nero. The book of 2 Timothy was the very last writing we have from him. There's a place in Rome that is said to be the place of Paul's imprisonment. It's basically a pit or a cave in the ground with a small opening in the ceiling where they dropped his food down to him. It's windowless and it's small, with bare walls, and it would have been a very uncomfortable place to be, especially in the cold winter months. Knowing that he would soon be put to death, Paul wrote this letter to his dearly loved son, Timothy. Of course, he was speaking of his spiritual family when he wrote that. We've seen Paul use this language for Timothy before, and Paul wanted to encourage Timothy in his work with some last important words. In verse 6 of chapter 1, Paul said, "Therefore, I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands." Have you ever tended a fire in a fireplace or a campfire? To keep the fire going, you have to stir it up once in a while, don't you? If you don't, what happens? It goes out. Paul is saying to Timothy, "My son, God has given you a gift, but you have to work at it to keep it going." Beloved, we can't just sit back and expect God to work through us. He expects us to take what he's given us, whatever those gifts are, and put effort into making the most of them for his glory, for his kingdom.
You can't, for example, say, I have the gift of teaching, and then just wait for somebody to come along for instruction. You have to actively make yourself available to use the gift. If there's a need for a Sunday school teacher, for example, volunteer. Don't wait to be approached. And it seems that Timothy may have been somewhat timid or fearful of making the most of his gift because Paul also says, For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, one of love, and sound judgment. Now, going back to the example of the gift of teaching, if you've been gifted this way but you feel fearful or shy about making yourself available, understand that that feeling does not come from God. With a gift, God also gave you the ability to make use of it. He gave you the power to use it. If it's from God, it's backed up with His power and His love and the ability to use the gift. When you're given a gift, God expects you to use it, beloved. It's part of His plan for you. So be bold in its use. This doesn't mean to be obnoxious about it, but do be confident. And then verse 9 says, He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Beloved, we have been called by God, not because of anything we've done, but because He had a plan for us before time even began, a plan for His purpose. Can you imagine God thought of you before time even began? It's a little like this. My sixth grandchild, a little girl, is being formed at this very moment by the hand of God. Do you think that Grandma and Grandpa, and especially her parents, have hopes and dreams for her? Of course we do. And do you think we're making plans for her arrival? You better believe it. She isn't even born, and our family is already filled with expectations about her and for her. And just as her mom and dad have picked out a name for her, God knew your name before He even set the universe in motion. Oh, beloved, I hope you do feel loved. I hope you understand how very much God loves you. You have comments or do you have a question? Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 and let me know. You can also comment via Boostergram or go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow will be the Law Monday and our reading will be Numbers 1 through 4. Our executive producer today is LifeSpring Family Berean Brother Howie, who sent in $200 today. Oh, thank you so much, Brother Howie. God bless you. Beloved, you know your value-for-value support is important to the show, don't you? Do you know why it's important? Why do I ask you to give of your time, talent, or treasure? Well, for one thing, I don't accept any advertisers because advertisers equal censorship. Advertisers want brand-safe content. They don't want to be identified with anything that might trigger people. And frankly, some people are triggered by the uncompromised teaching of the Word of God. So if you think this podcast is worthwhile, and you must since your time is valuable and you're spending it listening to this show, your donation of time, talent, or treasure means a lot to me. It means I can keep producing the show for you. If you donate some of your treasure, it means I can pay a bill. It means I can invest the time studying the scriptures so that the thoughts that I bring to you are hopefully helpful and well thought through. Investing time, talent, or treasure is a way for you to encourage me to keep on keeping on. It tells me that you think that what I'm doing here is worthwhile, and it helps me to share the good news of a risen Savior. Your donation makes you a partner in that effort. Your donation holds a great deal of value for me. All I ask is that you give in proportion to the value you receive from the show. Would you pray about it? Ask the Lord what He would have you do, and then go to
LifespringMedia.com/support.
I'll thank you, and I believe that God will bless you. We have a couple of prayer requests today. Jason sent a prayer request in. He said, My wife will be having surgery on Monday. In addition to her safety and healing, I'd like prayer for handling everything for meals and school with our daughters, 11 and 9, that she typically handles. We have family living next door, so I have lots of loving help, but I'd still appreciate the prayer, and I need God's help too. Well, Jason, you got it. What a blessing to have a family so close in times like this, right? We will be praying. And then also, let's remember Scott from Saskatoon's prayer request for his dad, who's having a heart procedure this week. He said, please pray that it goes well and he has a quick recovery. Scott, you got it. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, you are the creator of everything that is. You are Lord of heaven and earth. You're holy and you're righteous, merciful and faithful. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. We worship you and we praise you, Lord. Father, we pray now for Jason's wife and ask that the surgery will go well tomorrow with zero complications. We pray that you would protect his wife. May there be peace in their house as she recovers. And we pray that you would help Jason as he takes over some of the duties while she recovers and heals from the surgery. Bless their family members, Lord, who will be helping as well. We pray that every outcome will be to your glory, Lord. And we pray once again for Scott's dad and the heart procedure that he's facing this week. Calm any fears he has, Lord. Guide the surgeon's hands. And we pray that the surgery will be a complete and total success. May his recovery be quick and smooth as can be. We thank you on this Mother's Day for the moms in the LifeSpring family, Lord. We thank you for all the hard work and sacrifices they make. Bless them, Lord. And I thank you for the entire LifeSpring family. I thank you for bringing us together to read and study your word, and I pray that you would bless each one. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Scott and Jason, would you please let us know how the surgeries went, okay? Give us an update. And beloved, if you have a prayer request or a praise that you'd like to share with the LifeSpring family, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com or call the LifeSpring family hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Our next time of prayer together here will be on Wednesday. Sister Brittany just sent out a newsletter. Did you get it? If not, be sure to go to news.lifespringmedia and get yourself on the mailing list. Of course, I'll never spam you and I will not share your information with anybody. Thank you, Brittany, for that great article you put in the newsletter and for sending it out. Also, thanks to Sister Denise and Michael Hainer and Scott Snyder and today's artist, Jason Pascal. God bless each one of you. And beloved, thank you for inviting me along with you today. I do this show for you. It just wouldn't be the same without you. Share the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible with somebody today, would you? Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.